This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit mensteclinic.com. That's mensteclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Another chance here for the Clippers. Porter's down. They're playing 5-on-4. Here is Powell. And he finally drills one. What a big shot.
That was the call on TNT. Good morning, Metroplex. 8 o'clock hour here on Sean and RJ. Choppy out on the honeymoon vacation. We got Bobby Bell. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back. We are live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube as the Clippers even up their series against Denver by winning the late game. And we have TNT reaction to the Dallas Mavericks and Nico Harrison. Other leftovers from the press conference. Nico kept talking about the injury depletion. Defense wins championships. We have a championship-level team. You'll see with our front line, we have one of the deepest and most versatile benches. He did say we could have been better at mitigating the noise. The goal is not to run away from the media. We need to, and we will be better. So that was a little give there from Nico. That was a little change and acknowledgement and accountability, which we have not seen or heard.
I think we both agree, just talking through this, I think we both agree he wasn't good yesterday. Like, it wasn't a great performance from Nico Harrison. It was just a little more like an actual human.
Yeah.
Instead of just an authoritarian robot like he's been. He was willing to show a couple different times yesterday, I think, that I can be wrong on things. But then he would also double back and start talking about how stubborn he is or how, you know, well, that's an unfair question. He just... it's almost like he can't help himself.
He said the round table last week did not meet the goal. It fell flat and they didn't do a good enough job. Of course, everyone believing now that Patrick Dumont made him go out there and do it. And a lot of people yesterday, a lot of Tolo said, this is setting it up now. Nico is going to get fired. He is going to be the fall guy with some of these Dumont reports that Patrick Dumont was mad at Nico because Nico didn't explain to him how beloved Luka was. What about that Mark Cuban conversation? Cuban didn't tell. We know he texted Nico or told Nico, don't do it, I disagree. He didn't tell Dumont.
Right.
He didn't tell Dumont, I'm telling you, this is a really big mistake. When you were sitting down to negotiate the $4 billion sale, Mark didn't say, or probably didn't feel like he needed to say, now Luka Doncic is the man here. He's like our next Dirk. You know, what type of elementary introduction was given to Patrick Dumont about the basketball team when he was having his mother-in-law write the check?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of...
like, you just watched the NBA Finals, and Dumont didn't know the Luka love, and then yesterday, Nico telling Mac Angle, who we just had on, I knew he was loved, but not that much.
Like I'm trying to think of something that's equally... just like, it doesn't need to be said. That exists in society. I mean, it's
Roger Staubach?
Yeah, like
Roger, maybe above it.
Yeah, or even, I mean, it would be a thing of like, I feel like not even that. Like, if you were to just look at a modern society, some sort of like where you sell a business or something like that, and you're like, hey, by the way, I don't intend for you to just knock down this building and like fold the business. I'm selling it to you to like actually sustain it. That's essentially what they did. They took a wrecking ball to the Mavericks. I wanted to ask Mac this, and I'll throw it over to you. 6 months from now, roughly, they'll probably play their first regular season game of the next season. In 6 months, is it still just as intense? the heat on them? Or does enough time...
It's so hard to do these forecasts because we all want to say yes right now in the moment. Time does heal. Do they have Kevin Durant?
No. It's the same core.
The same core. Their first game, AAC. I think there'll still be some fire Nico chance. As intense? I don't know.
Is it going to be a case, you think, every year where it's just going to ramp up again whenever Luka comes to town? And then we're just going to, it'll be fresh every single time. And then it lingers. Because, I mean, honestly, I'll be honest. He didn't answer it in a great way, but I also kind of agree with Nico. I mean, he way underplayed it. But I knew how upset I was. I didn't know the city was necessarily going to be 2.5 months down the road still this upset. I knew I was going to be, but I also thought, well, nobody's as upset about this as I am.
Would we have been as upset if we got an absolute haul back in the deal? Would that have lowered it a little?
That would have lowered it probably for people here, but
if you got another young star in exchange.
I didn't want him gone. I wanted him here. That was upsetting to me, just as like we had talked about with Mac, the transition from Dirk to Luka being so seamless, and just you had the Brett Favre Aaron Rodgers setup and you bailed on it. And that was what was frustrating. And also just how much he clearly, it shouldn't have taken his return for people at the Mavericks organization to go, oh, he loves Dallas. Like, the other thing we got to remember, this is his home. Like when you think about, he came to America, this is his American home, is Dallas. It was essentially like growing up here as an adult.
I wonder if Nico and Dumont heard some of the playoff criticism of Luka and the referee criticism, and they weighed that too much. You know what I mean?
Yeah, did they hear Windhorst too much?
The Windhorst thing.
I wouldn't be surprised, especially somebody when we hear about how, for lack of a better term, it seems like they would privately acknowledge just how ignorant Patrick Dumont is about basketball. Then, yeah, I would bet if you see the biggest reporter like dressing down your player on TV right after you guys lose a tough game, that can sway you and influence you. But Nico should know better.
Last night on TNT, Charles Barkley and the crew reacted to the Mavs presser.
Listen, man, I consider you a friend of mine. Nico Harrison, I consider you a friend of mine. I wish you nothing but the best. I thought you did a good job last year with the Mavs. And obviously, whatever happened this year didn't work out. Man, don't do no more press conferences. Like, I don't even know what you're doing. I really don't. Like, I got sympathy and love for you, but I have zero idea what you're trying to do. This war is over, brother. You taking the L. I hope you keep your job. I hope that team get healthy. But, man, don't do any more interviews. Please don't.
And we're laughing and chuckling at it. And it's hilarious. He looks dead serious. Like, as somebody who is your friend, stop talking, dude.
Yeah.
But I think that's actually been their problem, is him not talking. Dumont talking is a problem, usually, I feel like.
Yeah. He's very aggressive.
Nico not talking is the issue. Nico needs to be in front of this. Nico needs to be trying to connect. Like, the biggest problem is there's no human element to Nico because he won't connect with people. If he would connect with people, it would be harder for people to just despise him. It made it easy when he did it and then he hid. Because it's like, I don't have a face. There's no reality to this. There's no humanity behind it. So I can hate him because it doesn't even feel like there's a human behind it.
Charles also had another message for whoever made this decision at the AAC.
Whoever announced a ticket hike,
yeah,
right in the middle of that, got to be one of the dumbest individuals in the history of the civilization. You drop that. Everybody know in sports or entertainment, you drop it at 5 o'clock, 4:59 on Friday, so it can particulate during the weekend, and nobody talks about it. You don't drop that right in the middle of the Luka Doncic trade. You raising ticket prices? Yeah. That's just stupid.
It's every single move they've made has been the wrong one. It feels like it has. I think Bontemps said something like this recently on Hoop Collective, where it's like every single time it's almost like they were going, what's the worst decision? Let's do that. Like, they were just almost messing with people. Like, let's do the worst possible thing each time.
Shaq then gave his Maverick thoughts.
See, his problem is
He wants to be liked, when he should just be focusing on doing his job. He made a decision, whether it was his decision or the upper decision. Listen, we live in a world, you're going to like it or you're not going to like it. I could tell by his answer, he wants to be the like. Of course he knew the importance of Luka, like, but he just wanted to be nice. He wanted to give the corporate answer. So my advice to you, brother, is just do your job and then just go with the flow. As long as the owner's got your back, you should be fine.
And the owner should have his back, because it clearly the owners threw him under the bus. I mean, listen, I don't know Nico that well. I know him a little bit. He's not going to trade Luka Doncic without the owners doing that. And now he's taking all the bullets, and rightfully so, because that's the job. But don't go on TV no more, man. Lay low. Just lay low. Because Luka's still playing. You're not playing. Anthony's hurt. Kyrie's hurt. Like, don't go on TV anymore.
Man, I actually disagree with Shaq. I think Shaq just probably heard the highlights of that press conference. Nico's been guilty, as you just said before that clip, of not caring whether he's liked or not.
Yeah.
Yesterday was the most likable. I know people can't wrap their brains around it, and they get all mad on social media over my tweet and everything. Yesterday was by far his best effort of trying to connect and be liked by the fan base. And again, that's not saying much, but it was his best effort.
It's like this. It's like if I were to actually dress like an adult, I would go from a 3 to a 5. I look nicer, but that doesn't mean I look nice. It's like, hey, he made some effort. He looks nicer.
Right.
It's still not great.
Yes.
But at least it's nice. That was not great yesterday. It was better than what he's done for 2 months.
Yes. Kevin Gray sent me this. The Mavericks are now considered one of the NBA's worst franchises, according to players in the anonymous player survey conducted by The Athletic. What is the league's worst organization? You want to guess, Bob?
The worst organization is going to be Phoenix?
No. He pays, at least.
The Knicks?
No.
I don't know if people still hate Dolan like that.
Knicks had 2.7% of the vote.
The 76ers.
Wizards.
76ers got 5.3%. Wizards are second. It's another team in the East.
Another team in the East. Wow. Let's go Hornets. With...
Good job. It's well, not good job. It took you 6 guesses. Oh. Hornets got 38% of the vote from the players. Then Wizards, Pelicans, Kings, Sixers, Mavericks now 4.4%. Bulls, Knicks, Memphis, Utah.
Does it say when they conducted it?
No.
Because I'm curious if that was...
You can go to The Athletic, I'm sure they'll say, or KG, you can send us the follow-up text.
Hello, baby.
But Nico was asked a really... Again, great job, I thought, by DFW Media yesterday with all these questions. He was asked, are you worried about this affecting future free agents? Like, why would people want to come here when you stab Luka Doncic in the back? He said he's not concern. It's the least of his concerns. And he was also asked, hey, why didn't you try to trade for someone? You're mad that Luka wasn't available. Then you go and trade for a guy named Street Clothes. Why?
Yeah, I mean, when you trade a guy of Luka's caliber, you're not taking it lightly. So we discussed everything. But we really feel that defense is our calling card and what we're going to hang our hat on. And when he had an opportunity to get one of the best two-way players in the league, we jumped at that opportunity.
Why didn't you get more? His answer back was, you either value Anthony Davis or you don't. It's kind of like what I said months ago. You could say Anthony Davis is worth 3 ones. So you could say you got 4 first-round picks when you throw in the extra one. You could say AD. Hey, if AD got traded today, he's getting at least 2 ones.
Is there...
So you can say we got 4 ones. It depends how you want to spin it.
I'm sure he wouldn't answer, but I would have just liked to have seen him react to just being asked about some of the reports about getting talked off of Austin Reeves or getting talked off of an extra first. And like, why didn't you get... Fine, you like Anthony Davis. The reports out there, though, are you were talked off of other aspects of this trade that you could have fulfilled. And that's what I understand. By the way, the Athletic survey, that was done. So this is all the Mavs blowback is filled out because it was done from mid-March through mid-April. So, I mean, that's everybody has all their information about the Mavericks. So it hasn't moved it so much if it's only 4%.
Is Shannon Sharp in trouble at his job? Micah Parsons is happy that Shannon's got another job. And the best guest in radio yesterday that Kevin Hagelin's going to absolutely love and support. That's next on Sean and Bobby, 105.3 The Fan.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Blackwell into the slot, shoots. Save made through traffic by Blackwood. Blackwell scores! It's over! This series is tied!
What a call. Victory Plus, ESPN, all of it as the Dallas Stars tie up the series against the Avs. There goes the losing streak. And Blackwell was a healthy scratch in game one, put into the lineup because of energy, making Pete DeBoer look really good. And Gavin Spittle with the background story. He went to Harvard, had a concussion injury. Yes, well, except for to Donald Trump. Had a concussion where he was out for his junior year, a lot of his senior season. He was just sitting there floating in the minors, and the Stars are the sixth organization he has been with. And DeBoer said, look, there's so much attention on the Stars in the postseason, not his Dallas Stars, on the superstars, the big dogs, that a lot of times, and again, your Derek Fishers, your Robert Ories, your Rick Foxes, your Tyson Chandlers, your Sean Marions, it comes down to those individuals who have to help you win series and championships, and you saw it last night in overtime with Blackwell.
This is what they do. They clean up their mess from game one consistently. There's all these things that we can check off with Pete DeBoer. Pete DeBoer will lose game one. Pete DeBoer will win game two. And if, unless it was the Golden Knights last year. And then if it goes to a game seven, Pete DeBoer is going to win that every time because Pete DeBoer is Mr. Game Seven. So, no, it's good to see them all get this cleaned up. They'd gone on that. I mean, that was eight losses in a row after they'd just finished up seven straight victories. And so it's been a little bipolar these last couple weeks, but I was talking about this with Spittle. We're talking about just the finesse nature of the Stars. Like we referenced at 7 o'clock, they're arguably the most talented team left in the playoffs. When you look at the list that ESPN had of the most talented players left, but there's a little bit of like that 21 Cowboys effect to them. Where it's like, man, they're finesse and they can hurt you and they can really do a number on you. But if you punch them in the mouth, sometimes they struggle with that.
Yeah.
And that's something where last night they seemed to play with better physicality. And the first two games, honestly, even though they lost that first one 5-1, they've seemed to play better with that more physical style in these first two games.
Here's DeBoer after the huge OT win.
Well, listen, I mean, you know, our season's on the line, let's be honest. I mean, you know, if we lose the first two games here, we got away with it last year in series one against Vegas, but you're probably not going to that well again this year and coming up and winning. So, you know, we knew our season was on the line, and, you know, I thought, like I said, I thought we got more direct in our game. And more competitive, and got rewarded for that.
So game three tomorrow night in Colorado, same puck drop in case you were hoping for a little bit more sleep. Spits and Suds is out with a podcast recap, and Gavin Spittle will join us at 9:20 in studio for all of your hockey questions and takes.
With a special surprise, according to Peyton. He's teasing a big surprise for us.
All right, the following 10 minutes, cancel alert and dump button alert.
Uh-oh.
Because yesterday at the end of the show, we told you about the allegations from a woman towards Shannon Sharp saying that he raped her repeatedly, even though they were dating for a long period of time. Well, yesterday, a move I've never seen before, as Shannon Sharp's attorney went and put out the text messages that this woman allegedly sent to Shannon, and Shannon Sharp just simply tweeted it on his own official account. Going to try to not get canceled. I'm going to read some of them. I should have Peyton do it and just end this whole experiment. Keep the music up so you don't use this against me. Gabrielle Zuniga, text message to Shannon Sharp, October 7th, 2023. I want you to put a dog collar around my neck and choke me with it while you're blank. I know you miss this big juicy ass. $25,000 for each cheek sent on January 2025. And his attorney came out and was like, oh, we're just going to go ahead and prove that she had these types of thoughts in her mind. And this is the type of individual that we're dealing with. I want to put my tongue there and then marry you. That's my daddy. I want you to, no, can't do that. You better crave. And I also want that again. And then I don't know if I've seen baby gravy written out in text form.
Oh.
So, yeah, some innuendo there. And you can do whatever you'd like to me. These are some of the alleged text messages as Peyton is chuckling back there.
Here's the only thing that I'll say.
I think that you didn't have to dump any of that, right?
No, we're clean.
No, we're saving all of it.
Yeah.
Teabag of the day.
And the good thing for you is that we actually record the like bed feed separately, so we do have clean rips of all of that. So okay. That's good. This is what I'll say. They can put all this out. That doesn't prevent her from at any point in her life changing her mind and saying no.
Right.
You know, and so,
or that he in one encounter or two encounters was ultra aggressive.
She can say all of this and then still say no at another point.
Yeah.
And that's the issue here is that they've talked about they were in a relationship. They were clearly talking a little dirty, but I mean, like, those are the things that you, I'm sure, talk about or think about when you're in a relationship with somebody, some more aggressively than others. And to me, it's like, she's clearly said, though, that this, and she maybe, you know, it's innocent until proven guilty, and this will be worked out in the court system. But I think yesterday when I saw a lot of people going like, this is proof that she didn't get assaulted. It's like, well, no, because I mean, just because she wrote this doesn't mean she can't say, well, not now. No, I don't want you anymore.
And now I will read the Kanye messages. No, kidding.
Get Aiden in here to read
them. Come on. Let me read it.
No. I think Kanye was saying that when he was young, you know what? That's not something I should mess around with. I better be exactly accurate with it. But something with a cousin and maybe abuse way back in the day, Kanye being Kanye and trending. 877-881-1053. Just be careful searching it and pulling it up if you are at work. So my favorite guest on radio yesterday was a guy named Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman is this WWE hype guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat down with McAfee. McAfee is part of, you know, WWE and wrestling and all that stuff. And this guy was electric. And here he is making everyone at ESPN uncomfortable.
CM Punk does as much good to my reputation Shannon Sharp does to ESPN.
Oh, no. Jeez.
Oh, boy.
All right. See, I'm all right. We don't need that. We don't need that. A lot going on.
I'm not the one getting sued.
Whoa. Okay. All right. Whoa.
All right.
Let's go.
So that got fired out there. Let's go. Well, I'm going to turn it up for you, Bob.
By the way, real quick, McAfee, he is the king of like, ooh, I do what I want, and then quickly panic it, whether it's Shane Gillis making fun of Saban, or he will quickly turn.
I think he's fake panicking.
I think he really panicked with Saban earlier this year with Gillis.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that one I think was genuine.
Paul Heyman with some shots fired towards Pat's bosses in Bristol.
Do you care about the opinions of people who are irrelevant? You don't care about the opinions of most people who are very relevant in your life. You don't care about the opinions of the people who pay you. Okay. They sit there and they go, hey, Mr. McAfee, don't talk about Shannon Sharp on the air today. Okay. And you go, I talk about anything I want. I'm Pat McAfee. All right. Watch me swing my schlong all over the place. They go, McAfee, don't talk about your podcast on the air. What do you do? I'm King Schlong. Okay. Watch me, Pat McAfee. Right? Last night when the roast was over, and you and I were out back, and you're going, why is that? By the way, it's puff, puff, pass, not puff, 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 chase down the gummy, puff, 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 pass, right? And you go, why is that? You know Steve A. Smith really sucks, right? And I go, I love Steve A. The man calls me the GOAT. The man, Stephen A. Smith, is on the air saying, if there's one person in the universe that I, Stephen A. Smith, at $70 billion a year, want to be, it's the wise man, Paul Heyman. And you sit there and you go, these ESPN bastards give me the same money as him or they can...
No, that's not true.
That's not true. And then John Cena outed McAfee as being a smoker or a pothead by being like, yeah, man, you were like ripping it backstage when John Cena was sitting down. So there's Paul Heyman trying to make everyone was like, he's never going on ESPN again. And McAfee has to be shaking in his wrestling boots right there.
Look, you can like WWE, you can dislike it, you can think whatever you want about it. And people generally do think whatever they want about it, good and bad. But the reality is, you cannot dispute the showmanship of everybody involved.
Well, this guy's a master.
This guy's a
craftsman. He really is. One of these two is maybe cancelable. One of these two, where he's going off on a fan, this guy is like running his mouth in the background. I think this is the more innocent one. We'll start off with cut 19 here, Pepe.
Who's the smart ass? You? The one that's going to get deported?
Wait, stop. All right, that's not the more innocent one. All right, so this turned into a...
He said it, we didn't.
This turned into a thing online where it's like Paul Heyman, what's wrong with him? He's racist allegations, stuff being thrown out there. Just buckle up.
Who's the smart ass? You? The one that's going to get deported?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, amigo.
Mats are hot.
I may suck, but it's your mother that taught me how. Bitch of an audience today.
There's a bleep.
I cannot wait till you're back.
What was up that edit? What are you doing there?
That's the video you sent. It cut off.
Oh. I'm gonna go recheck myself. Next time, no, I don't want that at the end. And then there's one more fan. One more. You look a little uncomfortable.
I appreciate it. Okay. Like, I would not want to be sitting there during it.
Has Spittle dumped any of this? You think this is okay? Like, right on the edge? Other people are saying it.
I wondered if the S word he threw around twice, I wondered about that.
Rhymes with long?
Uh-huh. I wondered about that.
Paul Heyman's final attack on a wrestling fan on McAfee.
What the f*** are you going to do about it?
No!
And the answer is the same thing that Roman Reigns and CM Punk are going to do about it. Not a goddamn thing.
Jeez. It was Easter yesterday.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you're right.
So please be unlike your daughter and keep your mouth shut.
This guy is an expert.
Can we please? We got.
Is he an expert?
I just, if we're ever at, like, if this guy's ever walking around Super Bowl or anything we're at, like, I want him to come sit down. I just want to be like, will you please just make fun of me?
Yeah.
Like, I want to know. It's
wow.
Who kicked y'all or punched y'all?
Jones hit me in the nuts.
Yeah, like it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, come on.
I told him, I said, put me in a hold.
Yeah, I
want to do something to me.
Exactly. Same thing. I want to be roasted by Paul Heyman.
That was incredible, I thought.
That was great.
That was fantastic.
That was good. I enjoy it. I respect that.
We'll ask Kevin Hegland about it at 9:40, and hopefully the dump button was not used on us too much. We'll find out from Gavin Sparrow in studio at 9:20 on DFW Sports Station. Will NIL ultimately rescue the Cowboys from their Super Bowl drought? That's next with our Cowboys Insider on the Home of America's Team and round one of the draft Thursday night after this. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
How NIL will save the Cowboys. Maybe. Hopefully. I would like to think so, anyway. Let's talk about it here in Below the Belt. Before we get into the segment, I do have to give a shout-out. I promised a man yesterday that I would give him a shout-out, and that was Adrian. Adrian, who I ran into at Shots in Louisville. I walked in, and he was like, are you on the radio? I was like, I am. And he goes, oh, my gosh, I listen to the fan all the time. So shout-out to you, Adrian. Appreciate you listening.
Appreciate it.
I told him I'd give him a shout-out here. All right, so this actually, I think this was yesterday, yeah, because it was this week, where we were about to come back for Below the Belt yesterday, and we were talking about, Sean and I in the break, about, I think it was the Lane Kiffin comments on, Carson Beck. Carson Beck going to Miami, getting paid $4 million, and then saying, like, did they watch his tape against us?
Better than the Cavender comments, whichever of the twins was dating him. She got recorded at some event just trashing him. Basically saying he's got no friends, he's a loser, he's arrogant. I mean, she just destroyed Carson Beck.
That's messy. That's messy right there. You don't call somebody arrogant. That seems really aggressive. But we were talking about the comments and the idea.
She said it was Hannah Cavender. Nobody likes him. Carries himself with a massive ego, expects people to treat him like a high-profile celebrity. He used to flip random people off at the bar, which made her super uncomfortable. She broke up with him prior to the cheating allegations on Snapchat because of who he was.
Let's be honest, though. When you watch Carson Beck's demeanor, does that sound like the most surprising thing in the world, that maybe he's kind of a D-bag?
I can't.
He gives off that energy. Okay, fine. You're not going to judge people. I will judge people. I look at the cover and I say, I think I know what this book is about.
He looks like he's got kind of like Eli face a little bit. Like, I can't picture any wheel spinning inside his head.
Or like Butthead. Like Beavis and Butthead. He's almost got like the Butthead look to him. Like with the mouth open and just kind of like dead behind the eyes. All right. But we're talking about this idea of player branding, and you've got Nico going to UCLA. It'd be nice if Nico would leave for LA, but this is the other Nico going to UCLA. His brother, by the way, announcing that he's transferring from Arkansas after just having transferred there from, I think it was USC, just like 2 months ago. He's already announced that he's bailing on that.
So they swapped quarterbacks.
Well, no, because that's Nico's, the guy he's replacing at UCLA. He's going to Tennessee. Nico's younger brother, who just got to Arkansas a little bit ago, he's already bailing out of there. So apologies to Nick Eatman. But we were talking about this idea of players being aware of their branding and their money and different things like that. And they have this hyper awareness of their earning potential at a much earlier age than they ever have. They've got these business advisors and are negotiating various deals. Like, we see all these players, Carson Beck chasing that $4.5 million at Miami. And it's more than any generation of players before. And so it brought up a question that I was kicking around right when we were coming back yesterday, which is the idea of, is it possible that whenever we've heard about the Cowboy brand difference, and we've always kind of said it doesn't make that much of a difference. You haven't won any free agents over it. It's not had this kind of impact that you guys hope it will. You don't generally get discounts in negotiations for it. But with this new era of players that has come up in NIL and is super aware of their brands and maximizing their brands, and when you see a guy like Micah Parsons, who is so aware of, it's good for my business interests to be aligned with the Dallas Cowboys, and you hear about some of these players that are coming out this year and the chatter behind the scenes about how much they'd love to be a Cowboy. It does make me wonder, are these NIL era players going to value the Cowboy brand more than previous generations have? Mm. And will it eventually, when they get to free agency after their rookie deal, will they say, that's a difference maker for me in order to maximize these branding deals that I've had in place for as long as I have? Look at Jalen Smith. Jalen Smith took advantage of it. Jalen Smith probably doesn't sell, no offense, I'm sure they were quality glasses, but Jalen Smith probably doesn't sell sunglasses if not for his partnership with the Cowboys. We've seen, obviously, like I just said, Micah Parsons has taken advantage of it. We see that it does boost players and their notoriety. It's just most of the time we've said that's not enough to cover over what discrepancies might be there. But these new NIL era players have so many more investments, I feel like, than players of the past. They've got so many other business interests that maybe they do look at it and say, that's worth my money. I will make my money back there.
I think it's an interesting thought. I think, you know, there's plenty of kids. Look at these interviews, you know, that Kay Adams does every other day, where they're like, I think they have this business respect for Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that a lot of the kids right now are making fun of the Cowboys for the 30-year drought. They're like, Jerry Jones is a rock star. And Jerry being on First Take, that's part of why Jerry doesn't mind being on First Take every single day, even for, you know, tabloid topics, because Jerry Jones loves being a superstar.
What's your point?
That's my point, Mr. Jones. He loves being a rock star. And look at how these kids that are about to be selected this weekend are talking about him.
Yeah. He's
like, this guy can help me build an empire.
How far down the list do you think, because we always talk about face of the league and different things like that. How far down the list of players do you think we get before we start considering Jerry in that conversation? Because he's not one.
No, Mahomes is one.
But can you name 10 players that maybe have a bigger prominent impact on the league?
No.
I don't think so.
Absolutely not. I'm trying to figure out whether Josh Allen or Lamar are more so the faces of the league.
And here we go. This is where we get some of the fan text response. It's naturally going to be a little upset because of the lose, and I understand. But I think these are two misnomers that we're getting on the fan text here. 469, is there a Cowboy brand with the younger generation? Don't think they care. I think Mike has shown you he cares, and these younger players are so much more aware of branding and business interests that I think they absolutely understand what the Cowboys mean.
I mean, the other day, Mike, I think, did himself a disservice, and when the deal came out that Shannon Sharpe is going to get $50 or $100 million for a podcast deal, Micah quote tweeted that and said, give up the podcast? I don't think so. And, oh my gosh, go in the comments. We get it. You don't care about football. Shannon Sharpe didn't do this while he was playing. Shannon Sharpe has rings. You don't. Like, Micah got destroyed in his own comments because he's like, see, this is why I'm doing it.
Boy, I do have respect for how much Mike is just doesn't care about the blow and will just say what's on his mind on Twitter.
Yeah.
I do respect just him saying, all right, I'm gonna fire off a tweet about it. 609 says, Bobby. He gives me the Kurt Warner. Please wake up. It's not good for anyone's brand to be with the biggest loser in the NFL for the last 30 years. That's the emotion talking.
Yeah.
It's clearly great for your brand to align with the Cowboys.
Sure.
Is it great for your success and your career? Well, clearly over the last 30 years it hasn't been, but it is something.
I mean, we by proxy, when we go to the Super Bowl, if we were doing radio in Indianapolis or Jacksonville, like no one stops by. But when they see the Cowboys star, or they want you to come on to sit there and talk about the Cowboys, it's the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, what do you say? Like you're kind of talking about there. That's how you try to pull people when they're walking by. If you could just say home of the Cowboys,
yes,
and
that's all I do.
They'll perk up and they look back because it.
I feel like it's better than any business card you can hand out. That's how I got Tannenbaum.
Yeah.
That's how I went up to, you know, Todd McShay, and I always drop it first. Home of the Cowboys. Stephen A. Smith is walking by. Home of the Cowboys. And I feel like they're going to stop and turn their head back.
Yeah. No, it absolutely makes a difference. 469, Micah cares because he's here. That's not the same. Yeah, this is where his feet are planted. You can talk to people connected to Micah behind the scenes and the different that they will talk about how important he believes the branding partnership with the Cowboys is, that he knows the power behind it. Micah Parsons is not Micah Parsons if Micah Parsons is in Cleveland. That's just the case.
Right.
Or, you could even pick Kansas City's a really successful team. He's not even Micah Parsons in Kansas City.
No.
It's just
Chris Jones is not a rock star.
No.
And he's a beast.
Yeah.
He might be going to the Hall of Fame.
It's not
with multiple rings.
It's honestly not. In fact, look at the fact that if you think winning is what ultimately matters to the branding and how the success they have, Tyreek Hill's profile raised when he went to Miami. And he became a South Beach player, and not that the Dolphins have had a bunch of success. He became a bigger brand, I think, when he went to Miami than he was when he was in Kansas City. And he was a better player in Kansas City. That's where he was at his absolute best. So, I don't know. It was just something I was thinking about the other day that I do wonder if when we hit free agency with some of these younger players who came up through the NIL era, do they go, well, you know what? I've got this company, this business. Is there a chance to align where I'm in the Cowboys Pro Shop? Can I do this? Can I do that? And it does boost the value, I think, of your brand. Over at the Dallas Morning News, Calvin Watkins has his latest mock draft up, and there are some fascinating things in here. And Calvin, I love Calvin.
Speak for yourself.
You love Calvin, too. Stop
Calvin.
It.
Cigar buddy.
Calvin's awesome, and he's connected outside of just Dallas. Like, so I think when Calvin has
the rep for the,
yeah, he's the Pro Football Writers Association. He's the head of it. And so he's very well connected and has worked obviously in New York before in different areas. And so when Calvin talks about the league in general, I think it's important to take a look at that. He's got some differences from what everybody else is talking about with some of these mock drafts. So I think it's kind of interesting to look at this. First three, Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, like everybody else does. Four with New England, though, he goes Armon Membu, who has been mocked to the Jets at seven over and over and over again. So he actually has Membu going ahead of Will Campbell. Ashton Jeanty going to Jacksonville at five. That's picking up a lot of steam.
Yeah.
Vegas takes Mason Graham. The Jets then take Will Campbell, the tackle from LSU. Jalen Walker, the edge linebacker from Georgia to Carolina. Number nine, Shedeur Sanders, quarterback to Colorado. People have moved off this with the Saints, and they're saying, no, no, no. Calvin, obviously, covered Kellen Moore here. So I think this comment is interesting. If he's still on the board, and then he puts in parentheses, Raiders like him, he's playing for new coach Kellen Moore.
About Shedeur Sanders
to the Saints. So he seems pretty confident that he thinks if Shador's on the board at nine, he's going to the Saints. 10, Tyler Warren, tight end.
Did Calvin get along with Deion back in the day?
I don't know if Calvin crossed with him or not. It may have been at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
10, the Bears take Tyler Warren, tight end, Penn State. 11, San Francisco takes Mykal Williams, edge from Georgia. So Tetteroa McMillan makes it to the Cowboys, and they don't draft him. Calvin Watkins puts Matthew Golden, wide receiver from Texas here. He said the Cowboys could draft receivers Tet McMillan or, and we haven't heard this name a lot at 12, Ohio State wide receiver Emeka Egbuka. Yet Golden's speed is hard to dismiss. He caught 58 passes for 987 yards with 9 touchdowns for the Longhorns. I think Egbuka, that name hasn't been brought up a lot. I think as a trade down possibility, it makes a ton of sense. I really like Egbuka. He's not like a burner, but the guy that I comped into when I went through my notes and I looked at it reminds me very much of Cooper Kupp, like a really big, efficient slot receiver.
Mm.
And so I think Egbuka would be a great pick. But with Tet McMillan on the board, Calvin Watkins says he's going Matthew Golden for the Cowboys at 12.
B-Low, the belt with our Cowboys insider, the best coverage around. You know that if you've looked at all the hard work and homework that the guys do over all the years. Tomorrow in studio, it's going to be Zach Wolchuk from 8 to 10. Nick Harris in studio Thursday from 8 to 10. Fort Worth Star-Telegram. All the fellas going to be broadcasting from the Ford Center of the Star in Frisco. I will be at Pluckers in Mesquite, and everyone else in the building will be at a different Pluckers throughout the Metroplex. Has Nico officially been put on notice? And he answers the question that everybody wanted asked, why shouldn't you be fired next?